Hey, we want to tell you about a ministry that's really close to our hearts. Global Christian Relief. Around the world, our brothers and sisters are risking everything for Jesus, and often they're unseen and unheard. GCR exists to remind us that we're one church, one family, and that no believer should stand alone. They come alongside persecuted Christians with prayer, Bibles, and this is the thing, real help. Food, shelter, trauma care, so the church can endure and shine as a light for the gospel. When you give, you're not supporting a cause, you're standing with family. And even if it's just a one-way street for now, maybe to sit down in that journal and just write five or six things that you love about your spouse.
Gratitude.
Like a gratitude list for what they are doing. Mm-hmm. And then this is going to sound radical, but then tell them.
Yeah.
Say that to them.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome. Like this is, this is going to be a little bit different. I been doing Overcomers for several years. Just what an opportunity to interview people that have endured significant sorrow and loss and found Jesus to be beautiful and near them and with them in some of the hardest, most heartbreaking things imaginable. I always like to describe it as like we were able to highlight the kind of events that we think in our head, if that were to ever happen to me, I wouldn't survive it. And I wanted to highlight people that, they thought that too. And then there was this special grace, this special presence given to them in that day of trouble. And I've had a lot of fun. Fun's probably the wrong word for the Overcomers. I've had a good time distilling and showing the sufficiency of Christ in difficult seasons and trials and times. And I'm not going to stop doing that completely, but wanted to shift and do something a little bit different in this next season. And so if you haven't noticed yet, if we haven't cut it this way, my beautiful wife, Lauren Chandler, is right here on my right.
Mm-hmm.
Been together a long time,
have
laughed a lot, and we have cried a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are always having conversations and looking for opportunity to do things together.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are seasons where that was not easy when the kids were younger, when there was a specific season in the life of the church or in something God had put on your heart to go do where it really didn't fit for me to join you there, for you to join me here, other than to be that thing for one another when we got home that encouraged and helped replenish. And so Lauren and I started talking about what if we did this? What if we just sat down and we started having conversations about specific topics that we feel like God uniquely carried us through or has uniquely shown us in these years. And you began to share some of what was on your heart for a space like this. And so why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think, we've done a couple of episodes together of the Overcomers and it was a lot of fun. And I enjoy getting to kind of maybe provoke some things in you.
Well, you do that. You can do that for sure.
And maybe show people a different side of you and of us together.
What side do you want to show them, babe?
The more fun side. The more playful side.
You don't think I come off as playful?
No.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
Well, and I think the Overcomers has done what it should do, which is to give hope to people that are in really difficult circumstances. And so I think that's so important. I think it's so good. I'm so glad that you have the Overcomers. And like you said, I want to still like talk to those people.
Yeah, we'll do some of that.
Have some of those stories on here, but also bring some, I don't know, levity, but also to, this is what I think you're really good at is you are great. I think anyone who listens to you preach is you're really good at going super deep, but then also injecting levity that seems natural. I wanted an opportunity to just kind of invite people into to our table in a sense, not into our lives completely, because that's just the two of us. It's just two in this one marriage.
There's not a third chair right now.
Yeah. But, and Jesus, Amen. The Holy Spirit. Yeah. But just to kind of invite people in to our lives in ways that maybe we can be, I hope we come across as relatable, but another point of contact to be relatable in just loving Jesus yeah. as just people who need grace, who need the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Who need to be, who are being transformed into the image of the Son from one degree of glory to the next.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. And pastor and pastor's wife and a, you know, 50 something and 40 something year old.
We're just going to keep it vague like that.
I'm 45, guys. He's 51. you know, just parents, and we have older kids, and yeah. I don't know, just something that hopefully we can offer people encouragement and to just feel maybe less alone.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times when I hear, and not everybody does this, but I can in my head think, well, that's them and they can do it and they have it. Look, it's all looks great. Every hair is in place, you know, everything looks picture perfect. But maybe we could be, people are like, oh, we don't have it all together.
Yeah.
But we are still striving to love and please the Lord and love one another
yeah.
and try to walk faithfully. So I just want to invite y'all into this. And and I want to bring levity or okay. bring out the levity in you.
Okay. I wonder why, well, I guess overcomers is easy, right? It's hard to bring levity into
it
some
is.
Of those topics.
I totally agree.
But let me ask this on that overcomer front.
Mm-hmm.
If there was one person, like just, I would love to talk with this one person about how they overcame or what Christ has done or how the Spirit helped them endure or convicted them or provoked them, or who would that be? Is there somebody, I mean, we didn't talk, like none of this is scripted.
Yeah, this
we literally have some ideas.
On the fly. And I'm great with questions on the fly. I am not.
No, that's me.
Who would you say?
I don't know. And there's so many. I think I've interviewed most of the ones that I wanted to interview. It doesn't have to be at the church. My rule is I want to know them. But if there was someone like, you're like, ooh, I don't know him, I follow him online, I would love to hear some more details about this story.
I can't think. I can think of people that I want to talk to.
Okay, then go that route. Maybe it's not overcoming. Maybe I just want to talk to this person. Who would you love to talk to?
Always like John Eldridge.
That's
he's one of my favorites.
I call Eldridge Lauren's boyfriend.
I always listen to his podcast.
I know he's old enough to be your dad, but do you listen to Eldridge more than you listen to me?
Maybe.
It's not. You can
no,
be
I
honest.
If,
are we
going to
be honest in this thing or not?
Yeah, we're honest.
Okay.
Yes, I like the Wild at Heart podcast. That one's always great.
Yeah.
I always like Dr. Joel Mutamali.
Mm. Joel would be fun to sit down and talk to. He's got a new book coming out. Maybe we should have him on and talk about that new book.
Maybe so.
Have you finished reading that yet?
Nope.
Still in it. So fun.
So those are two that I guess that I would eventually like to have.
Okay.
What about you, babe?
Well, here's where I thought you were going to go. I thought you were going to say Nisa Powers.
Oh, yes.
Like I thought, because we've had that conversation,
yes.
You've been so fascinated.
Okay.
And I thought for sure, I thought I was like setting you up to like a softball to clap.
Yes. Yes.
It's fun.
I would love to have Nisa
on.
I don't know if anyone's familiar with his story, but has really overcome a lot. You can look him up on Instagram. He became a believer. Some guys like shared the gospel with him. He was playing pickleball. And he, at that time, thought he was a she. Nicole, I think, was what he called himself. And super confused about, in like unsatisfied in life. And these guys that were playing pickleball, like at a court beside him, just shared the gospel with them. And it's like nothing changed radically in that moment, but it started this trajectory where he started searching for truth and searching for the real God.
Yeah.
And Jesus like revealed himself to him. And it's been really fascinating to watch him grow in Christ. Anyway, so that's who I would say then. Right, yes.
There we go. Okay.
You read my mind.
One flesh.
Okay.
One flesh. So we did this thing or
what about you though? Who would you want to have on? Or you feel like you've had everyone on?
I think I've had everybody on.
Okay.
I think I've had everybody on. So we did this thing where I posted on my story. You told me to collaborate. I don't know how to do that. Because it's a story. I know how to collaborate on a reel, but is it the same on the story?
I don't know.
It wasn't a post. And so I just asked, I was like, hey, what would you want Lauren and I to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to warn you that it's not overly broad. So I'm going to just start reading some of these. All right. Raising kids in ministry, marriage, 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 parenting, marriage, adult friendships, marriage and leadership service, marriage, raising kids, parenting, leading as a couple, marriage, marriage, marriage. When y'all talk struggles, there is something more real for us to also get real. So they want us to be real.
Like
we're going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
God and all the difficult parts of life and ministry, burnout, marriage, seasons of marriage and parenting, older teens, young adults, which was awesome. I had a conversation with Audrey about that last night. I don't think I was able to, unpack that with you after. Real life examples of Christian parenting and marriage, not make-believe ones. Marriage, discipling kids, biblical ways of marriage, biblical ways of parenting, marriage and parenting, marriage parenting, progressive sanctification, thriving in man/womanhood. So I could keep going, but there's definitely a theme.
But there's some you're missing because he read some of these to me last night.
Like all the jiu-jitsu ones?
Yes. Yeah. Jiu-jitsu came up a lot.
Yeah, but that's because I work with Jesus and jiu-jitsu and I'm always on their gram. And plus, I'm a blue belt. I don't need to be talking about jiu-jitsu.
And here's the deal. I'm not going to be the model or whatever that you're going to. I know I got jiu-jitsu gear on right here, but
you got great grips on that jacket. I can tell you that right now. No, when I started training, Lauren said two things. You can't get the ears and you can't show me what you're learning in class. And 4 years in, you have stood your ground on those.
And when he says the ears, I mean like
yeah, the cauliflower, weird cauliflower ears. I'm calling them weird, babe. They're cauliflower
ear
guy
guys
out there that'll come
if you have them,
beat
but they're
me
strange.
Up now. Yeah, well, yeah, it's just they're hard-earned, if you will. Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's something genetic about them.
Okay.
Because guys, I started training with 4 years ago, already have them, and I had that one puffy one time.
The Lord has heard my prayers.
That's the prayers of a righteous woman availeth much.
That's right.
I love it. So do you want to talk a little bit about marriage, kicking this thing off?
Yeah. Let's do it.
I think one of the kind of bigger themes that people wrote about was wanting to know, and we've talked about this in multiple places, but wanting to know really what it was that made those first 7 years so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to set that up? Do you want me to set that up? How do you want to do that?
I can set it up.
Why don't you set it up?
You just needed counseling.
I did.
That's what it was.
Desperately. It was actually, I needed to know that I needed.
I'm kidding. It was both of us. No, you start and I'll riff on that.
Yeah, I think for me, marriage was in some sense another form of salvation. I think there were broken parts of me that I was unaware of. That in my head, since I was, at least a teenager, I had kind of projected into the future this life I was going to have that wasn't full of biblical vision.
Mm-hmm.
It was filled with what I would call now anti-vision. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be this.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a God says marriage is this. This is what the purpose of marriage is. This is what I should be looking for. I knew I was going to marry a Christian. I was headed to ministry.
Yeah.
I knew I wanted to marry someone who loved the Lord. But I didn't know really partnership in ministry. I had no concept of that. I had very little concept of picture of God's covenant faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that those broken bits in me that Jesus was sanctifying would not be fulfilled through Christ alone over time, but that my wife was going to come in and the way that she would want me and the way that she would celebrate me and the way that she would move towards me, mm-hmm. and I could use a lot of other little sentences there, would fulfill that thing that even though I was deeply in love with Jesus, was unsettled. And what's hard about that is I didn't realize I was unsettled yet. I was too young to know I was unsettled, or I lacked self-awareness around not being settled. And so when we got married, I had read all the books. That's just my style. I would need to know how this works. I didn't have a model that made sense to me.
Yeah.
And so, man, I just devoured everything I could read. And what I read reinforced not covenant, but contract. Mm. And so if you will, she will, was what I found in most of those marriage books. Everything from date nights to service to in those books had this corresponding, then she will.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be not true. And so when I came in, I craved a kind of intimacy that was greater than sex. It wasn't a sex issue that you and I had. It was like I craved a kind of intimacy that I couldn't find with you. And so what I would do is I would double down on what I had read. I would serve you harder. I would try to show you love in ways that you either did or didn't pick up on. And then because there wasn't the reciprocity, and maybe honestly, babe, there was the reciprocity, but I wasn't picking it up because of my own brokenness.
Yeah.
So then because I didn't want to be what I'd grown up in, which was explosive and angry and violent, I would just shut down.
Yeah.
And so from my perspective, and we've talked about this, I think this is a shared perspective now. I was coming in thinking this woman is going to solve all this in me. And that wasn't prefrontal cortex stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of below the surface, you know, in my spirit, in my soul, that this woman's going to, you know, complete me, Jerry Maguire. Then you throw in that, like, ministry for me at that time is bananas. You know, everything I touch is exploding and everybody else is celebrating me and everybody else. And then I can't unlock this woman at home. And so for me, that was where I felt stuck.
Yeah.
That's me talking about our first 7 years from my side. Your what was wrong in me? What wasn't firing in me?
Yeah.
Hey friends, quick pause to share about a ministry we deeply believe in, Global Christian Relief. Across more than 30 countries, places like Nigeria, Iran, India, and North Korea, our Christian family is facing real persecution for following Jesus. Global Christian Relief exists to close the distance between us and them. They invite us into real stories like names, faces, faith, so no Christian is isolated or forgotten. Through prayer and generosity, GCR provides emergency relief like food, shelter, and medicine. They rebuild churches and homes. They even offer trauma counseling and get scripture into the hands of believers who are hungry for God's word. When you join Global Christian Relief, you're not just giving to a cause, you're standing with family. And as you step into their stories, their courageous faith will strengthen yours.
I think for me, I was the firstborn, you know, follow the rules, do this, this, and this. And it turns out, it works out. Like, do what I can to make the A,
yeah,
to get the good grade, to be perfect as best I could. And I think when you live life that way, sometimes you can detach who you are from what you produce. And so, of course, what you felt was what I was producing for you and not really who I was,
yeah,
if that makes sense. And so here you were, I'd try to do what I could, but it was never enough because you wanted more from me, but I didn't know how to give you that part of me. And then even because it felt like even what I did give wasn't enough, then I felt like a disappointment. So then even myself would just shrink it was like a turtle. Like, yeah. I just like, oh, well, gosh, let me get back into my shell even further. And so, you know, I think we just had our own baggage that looked so different. And it might have like attracted us to each other initially. Yeah. But then when you start living life and you're, there's nowhere to just gently, you know, shove things under the bed or throw it in a closet. It's like, oh no,
yeah,
we're all in this together.
Or I mean, if we think back to dating, mm-hmm. or you go back to your house and
that's
I go back
I'm
to
saying.
Mine, right?
Yeah,
and then I get this break.
Yeah.
But once there's we're married, no, there's no like, nowhere to go.
All the closets, yep. you see the closet, everything's thrown into. You see what's under the bed that's cleaned up for just, you know, the 20 hours we're together in that 4 hours.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that's, you know, I felt like I was the problem too. I was like, if I could just figure it out, we'd be okay.
Yeah.
And the truth was, we both had stuff to work on and to figure out. And, you know, I think the age gap, and then even I respected you in your knowledge of scripture and in your commitment to your relationship where, yeah, I grew up in church. So at that point, I was 8 when I accepted Christ. By that time, when we were married, I was 19. And so I had 11 years of knowing Jesus, but, you know, it was slow growth.
Yeah.
And then here you come on the scene and I respect you. Like the first thing that I was attracted to was not really like, oh gosh, I want to marry that guy or I want to date him. It was, I want to know Jesus like he does. Like, I know Jesus, but
so
not
you,
like that.
Are you saying it wasn't all this?
I mean, it was just, you're the most handsome person, man, I'd ever seen.
Small East Texas town, guys.
I thought you're a movie star. Anyway, no, it was how, like, I truly believed how much you loved Jesus. I mean, it was contagious, and it gave me a good kind of jealousy for more of Jesus, like that intimacy in particular. And so I think I respected you, and which is good. I think it's great, but also made me, it made me always just think, okay, yeah, it is just all me.
Yeah,
I didn't ever think, well, you know, maybe Matt has some stuff to work through. but I think that's okay. I think, and that's the thing, I think when people ask about our first 7 years, I praise God for his sustaining grace.
Yeah.
I praise God that you were in ministry and there was a little bit of just the fear of failure that kept us together.
Yeah, there was.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think there can be a healthy amount. I think the fear of the Lord is the best thing to have. And I
Absolutely.
Think there was a mixture of
sure.
the fear of the Lord. Like, we want to do this right. We want to honor you, but also we're kind of miserable.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful that we were like, we're going to make it.
Yeah.
But we also don't want it to be like this the rest of
our lives.
And so I think for those who like hearing about the 7 years, I think, because it resonates.
Yeah.
And sometimes for other people, it's, you know, maybe it's the middle 7.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the first 7 was great. And then you're like, the next 7 has been not what we expected. And I think it's just part of our story now and how God shaped us and how he's using that in others' lives. And yeah, so that was kind of the first 7 years, from my perspective, was just, man, I was able to get the A, and I'm not able to get the A, and because I'm not giving myself, because it was something I was more just protective of myself, and didn't want to be fully seen.
Yeah,
you know. Because of shame, I think, just the shame of not being enough and being a disappointment.
Okay.
And then even when what I did put forth wasn't enough, it made even that part of me, the kind of the true, the truest part that you were looking for to retreat.
Yeah.
You know?
What do you think? I've told the story a bunch. I've never heard it from your side.
Yeah.
Well, how did it start to turn?
For me?
Yeah.
I think that one moment where we were actually in the living room, you're sitting on the couch.
Okay.
And are you talking about us being in the kitchen?
In my memory, uh-huh. which I trust yours over mine, don't have a right frontal lobe.
And I'm younger.
And you're younger. Oh my gosh. This is like, the older I get, the more this is becoming a thing.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Like, I don't know. I'm just messing. Anyway, I just like to mess with you.
In my mind, we meet in the living room, you're right, but I was in the kitchen and I came around and you met me alongside the bar.
This is where I remember.
Let's go. My brain might remember as
you talk. So we were in that living room on Creekside,
mm-hmm.
and there was the couch and then the fireplace.
Yep.
And I was sitting by the fireplace.
Like on the ground or in that chair?
I was either on that chair, like the ottoman, yeah. or I was on the ground.
Okay.
And then we had the coffee table. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming around the coffee table over to the couch and saying, I don't know what happened to you, like in your growing up, that has hurt you so badly, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like I think it was just like in that moment, the Holy Spirit just gave me this clarity where it was like, this isn't about you. This is about something that was really hard that happened to Matt, over a course of time.
Sure.
A lie you're believing, a whatever.
Yeah.
And it just moved me, and probably that true part of me that you're wanting to come to move towards you, not away.
Yeah.
Because before I was just, I'm retreating.
Yeah.
And instead, I felt the instinct to move towards.
Yeah.
And that, I think, was what changed for me. And I can't remember if that was, I think it was before I started going to recovery.
Yeah, it was. Because I still don't remember it that way, and that's fine. I remember the heart of the story that way. The location is what I remember differently. Fine. It's fine. But again, I'd like to say 99.9% of the time, you're right.
I don't know.
You're right.
I'm willing to be wrong, but in my mind, I remember being by the fireplace and coming, you were sitting on the couch and I came to the couch.
Yep. If people haven't heard our story before, like that moment for me was because the dance we were in was, I think it's your fault and you think it's your fault. And that was a moment of clarity for me where I realized for the first time, oh no, this doesn't have anything to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even that I had even missed you as a person more than anything else, which is really heartbreaking to kind of come to the conclusion that I'd put a kind of weight on you that you weren't meant to hold.
Yeah.
But up until that moment, I was just convinced that if you would just, I probably had a list of 5 or 6 things, then everything would be great.
Yeah.
And that to me was the moment where I was like, oh, I need somebody to help me.
Yeah.
I'm stuck here. And that started my journey there.
And I think too, the reason what's so interesting is that by you kind of turning the focus back to yourself on, and like you and the Lord, not just, what's my issue? What's my problem? Why can't I get together? But like, oh, there's something that needs to be tended to in my heart right here. Then that freed me up to start looking at my own heart. And so I think it's interesting when I hear of couples where like one of them feels the way you felt and the other feels the way I felt. A lot happens when, no matter who it is, starts kind of thinking, okay, I cannot change them. And there probably is something that I need to work on here.
Yeah.
And so let me take that weight off of this other person and try to figure it out, like with the Lord, with counseling, with, godly friends, just to start looking at, okay, something's broken in me. Yeah. Something's not firing right. And what, how can I start looking at that? Not in a, so that they'll get their stuff together, yeah, but like, no, I want healing and I need healing, and I place them in the Lord's hands.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pray that, you know, he deals with them too. But that's what happened for us, is as you started to recognize, okay, there's more here that I need to focus on, it freed me up to look at me.
Yeah.
And it did. I mean, it changed. It changed our marriage. And it wasn't immediate.
No, it took a
bit. It was really, it took a few years,
I think.
But it made a difference.
100% it did. Yeah, I think that's the, I think people want like a silver bullet,
yeah,
for the pain of marriage. Yeah. And I totally understand that, wanted it, yeah, longed for it.
Right.
And it was very much process. But I think to get where you and I have gotten, you have to endure.
You do.
And there has to be an immense amount of patience.
Yep.
But that goes back to marriage as a picture of God's covenant faithfulness.
That's right.
Right. I mean, his patience is immense.
Yep.
And to be patient with one another. And I needed to see you as not just she's here to meet whatever my heart's wants and needs are, but I needed to see you as a daughter of the, yeah, King, beloved by the Father, gifted by the Spirit, given to me by grace,
yeah,
for gospel ends. And there was just no way for me to see you that way, mm-hmm, in the state I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, you know, maybe I'll get us in trouble here. It's fun. Sure, there were Bible verses that I could slap on there and would discipline do.
Yeah.
But I was hungry. I was hungry for transformation.
Right.
Not just, you know, I'm going to be obedient until he gives me a new, yeah, heart. I was going to be obedient.
Yeah.
But I was going to set out on a journey for him to heal my heart.
Yeah.
And I wanted him in those spaces. At the time, I didn't even know they existed. What is this?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I feel disrespected by this? Why is this longing so insatiable? What is this? And a lot of times, like I said, I needed a guide for that kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
And by the grace of God, I think the story of my life is at the right time, yeah, God sent the right man to help me. And that was true of that. That, yeah, was true of that season.
I do think in that moment when I was saw you sitting on the couch, that's what I saw, was you as a person.
Yeah.
And not as the husband that I continue to just disappoint and fail.
Yeah.
I saw you as, I honestly saw you as a boy. Not, yeah, like in a
no, no, no,
derogatory sense,
no,
but in
a it,
like, the essence of who you are, like, yeah, 8-year-old Matt. Do you, yeah, know what I'm saying? Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's something really special about 8-year-olds. I think that is such, I'm curious, like, psychologically what they've discovered about, like, age 8, how, like, vulnerable and in some ways really pure as a kid that, yeah, you can be, like, your personality and your personhood in a sense.
Just a lot more free, a lot,
yeah,
less fear of man.
Fear of man. Yeah. Anyway. But I think that's what I saw you is that, like, Matt, as a son of God, as beloved, and not as my husband or any other label I could put on, yeah, you.
So if, you know, 100 people plus,
mm-hmm,
ask about this, if they tuned in to episode 1 of our new deal together,
yeah,
their wife, like, they, everything you're saying is so resonating with them.
Yeah.
They feel like I'm a disappointment. So they're shrinking back. Mm-hmm. So they, how would you encourage a wife that's in a similar situation?
Number one, take it to the Lord. And I would say journal. And I would say pour out your heart to him. And really start a dialogue with him. I mean, he speaks to us. Yes, he speaks to us through the Bible, through the scriptures.
Yep.
Always in agreement with the scriptures, but also he can speak to our hearts,
yeah,
if we'll listen to him. The Holy Spirit can just whisper things to us about him and then about ourselves that kind of help us understand. So I think that's a great start is to like just pour out your heart to the Lord. Honestly, I would recommend writing it down. There's something about just the mechanics
getting it out
and your brain and your soul, like just getting that on the page and starting a dialogue, not a monologue, with the Lord about this and asking for his guidance. Because the deal is, your husband's not Matt. You're not me. We're going to have different stories. We're going to have different issues and how they all work out. But the Lord knows. He knows better than you even know. And so starting there, and then maybe looping in a friend or two that is like a really good friend that loves you, that loves your husband, that would not be a husband basher, but would be like, respects your husband, but also knows he's human.
Yeah.
That you could just say, will you just pray for me in this? I want to grow in this. I want to see the things that I need to grow in and change and submit to the Lord. Would you pray for me and hold me accountable to that and walk with me through that? So I would say that would be my advice.
I love that.
Okay.
I think that's great. There's something about fresh air and trees and being outside that's really replenishing for me. And yet, I think I spend 90% of my time indoors in front of a screen, at my desk, above my garage, or up at the office at the Village Church. And so I was excited when Air Doctor, which is like this award-winning air purifier that really eliminates like 99.99% of all kind of allergens and viruses and smoke and mold and all that stuff that's in the air. They were actually voted best air purifier by Newsweek. 98% of Air Doctor customers agree that when they plug these things in, the home feels cleaner and healthier. And so Air Doctor Pro is sponsoring this episode of The Overcomers. And if you will go, you will get $300 off today. Comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee plus a 3-year warranty. I think that's like an $84, $85 value. And so you can go to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com. And use the promo code Overcomers for $300 off any of their Air Doctor air purifiers. And so got one plugged in here. Love what it's done to my office. It has changed kind of the feel of things in my office. And so airdoctorpro.com, use the promo code Overcomers. On the husband front, man, if you're a husband and this is resonating in regards to the dance, sometimes I think I grew frustrated with you because you were holding up a mirror to me about I could see me in a way I didn't like. It wasn't who I wanted to be. So I could look to you and feel like I was falling short. And then because I'm sinful, that would piss me off towards you. When you didn't really do anything except hold up a mirror to my own shortcomings and failures and things I don't really know how to do, but felt like I should do. And then I'd feel shame that I don't know how to do that. I didn't have a lot of grace for, you know, not being the kind of generalist that maybe I should be as a man. And so I would ask a husband to really do a little bit of digging around, are you pissed at your wife because she's holding up a mirror to your shortcomings and failures? And then that is triggering shame in you. And instead of taking that shame to the Lord, are you now like getting back at your wife who hasn't done anything except been the mirror that a wife is going to be? But that mirror is actually meant to help us be better, to grow, to see where we're weak, or to own who we are. Like, I will never be handy like your dad is. Never. I don't have the aptitude. I can get it done. I can make a phone call. I can get somebody over here. I can, but I'm not, like, he has mentioned parts of things before that I thought he was screwing with me. Like, he was like, well, it's probably the Magneto. It's like, bro, that's an X-Men. That's not even a real part, but it is a real part on a boat. And I just need, I don't need to feel shame about that. I need to grow where I can. And then I'm me. what I can do is get things done more than I'm going to be the guy that spends 2 days remarbling the bathroom like your dad did.
Yeah.
And so those were places early on that I would feel shame and I'd get mad at you.
Yeah.
But you didn't really do anything except I felt exposed in a way that triggered maybe a little 8-year-old Matt, if you will. That would be the first. The second thing would be I really think often, not always, because here's, if I think back on the desires I had, the desires were good.
They were good desires,
Like everything I was desiring actually is a good biblical desire.
Yeah.
But I was trying to manipulate to get there rather than manipulate to see you as a person, to move towards you as a partner, to kind of close the gap because you were shrinking back.
Yeah.
And I was not helping you not do that. I was actually causing you to do that in ways that I couldn't see at the time. And so I wonder how frequently men.
Can I?
Please.
I think we're saying men and women, husband and wife, because what you've experienced is you as a husband and a man, and what I've experienced is a wife and woman. But I think it can be the other way around.
I know plenty of people that it's
switched. So I almost want to throw that out there that maybe there's some guys that are like, I resonate with Lauren's side of thing, and a wife that's like, I actually resonate with Matt, where I'm trying to get there with my husband, and I feel him just like escaping from me right now. And so I want to kind of just, hey, it might not be that's a wife thing and a husband thing. It might be there's
a bent.
Yeah, a bent in that might look one way or the other.
Yeah.
Regardless of which you are, the husband or the wife.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to throw that out there.
I think that's great.
So, yeah.
So smart, babe.
You know.
You know. Summa cum laude, but I don't want to talk about it.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I do think answering the question of why this is bothering me the way it does, especially if it doesn't quite make sense.
Yeah, that's
like
good.
If your response to an action or a non-action from your spouse triggers an emotion or an output that doesn't quite match it.
Yeah, it's disproportionate.
I think that is an absolute check engine light, red flag. Something's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Something's broken in me. What is it about that? What lie am I believing that has me making that personal in a way that it's not?
Yeah.
And then I do think, and maybe this works both ways. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I heard a man say, I don't know that I fully agree with it, but there's something there. I heard a man say that most men don't actually need like therapy. They need the people in their lives to acknowledge to them that the weight they carry is difficult. And so there's something there, especially if what we see in the scriptures is the wife is meant to respect her husband. That if you're the wife, tell me if this works back the other way.
Okay.
If you're the wife, that appreciation for the hard work, even if it's not as romantic as you want it to be or as tender as you want it to be, but just the, hey, thank you for grinding the way you're grinding. Thank you for that attempt. Because we've had this conversation before, like when I have tried to do something for you and then you've come in and I haven't done it quite like you wanted to do it. And you've been like,
whatever,
hey.
Whatever you speak of.
Yeah. Hey, when you do this next time, this, this, and this. And that just makes me go, well, you know what?
I wish
I wouldn't even have done it.
I know.
Glad I spent several hours trying to do this for you, only to be told I did it wrong. And so it's fine. We're having real talk, right?
Yeah.
And so you can say something. I mean, I do 1,000 things. I'm sure that'll come out in more episodes, but.
I keep no record of wrongs.
Sure you don't. But you have a list. It's not a record. Hun, you know.
Anyway.
You know.
I don't know until it happens. I'm like, oh,
here
gosh,
he is again. That's completely untrue. I would say, even in the midst of difficult seasons, if you have the ability to thank your husband for the hard work he's doing, acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Acknowledge the weight he carries. Acknowledge the rather than being, and I think the way I've historically taught this is to be an expert on the strengths of your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And does it work the same way? Like, respect is such a high value for men. I mean, it feels to me experientially that respect for a man is much higher
than a,
than a woman. Not to disrespect a woman. That's not what I'm saying.
I think I want to, as a wife, I'd love to be appreciated.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's on the same weight of just that the work I do matters and that it, at the home or whatever. So I don't know if that's comparable
or not. I think it is.
Yeah.
Appreciation, respect. I don't know on the fly how I'd tease those two apart.
Yeah.
I think they're both similar because to appreciate is to respect the thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
And so maybe if you're stuck and you don't know how to, maybe the first thing you do is, if I could give a real practical, simple little exercise, and even if it's just a one-way street for now, maybe to sit down in that journal and just write five or six things that you love about your spouse.
Gratitude.
Like a gratitude list for what they are doing. Mm-hmm. And then this is going to sound radical, but then tell them.
Yeah.
Say that to them.
Yeah.
Hey, I so appreciate, I so respect this, 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 and this about you.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's just seed the ground with that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a once a week thing, or you take that list of six or seven, and over the next 6 or 7 days, you give one a day over coffee or whenever you two, when you're going to bed at night or however that might work for you.
Yeah.
But hey, what are you, if we think into the future, what would you be most excited about to chop up with me? Do you want to do the Nephilim? You so want to do the Nephilim. You so want to do, everybody's
I
doing
am
the
a
Nephilim.
Huge
Everyone wants to do
fan.
The Nephilim conversation.
Really?
It's everywhere right now.
I've been there. I've been on that Nephilim train for a while. I'm totally down for that kind of stuff.
I'm 6'5".
Yes.
Do you think that means somewhere back there?
Probably
I have
somewhere.
Some Nephilim
blood in me.
Let me do
that 23andMe.
Does Nephilim show up on 23andMe?
Maybe. I don't know.
Listen, we could do like a Christian 23andMe and we could just make stuff up because I think that's what they're doing. We could be like, oh my gosh, you're related to Abraham.
No.
would we all be related to Noah?
Technically, I don't know. That would be a Dr. Joel Mutamali.
That's what we need to talk
question.
To Joel about. Because we all go back to Adam and Eve, right? I mean, you believe that, right? You a conservative?
I think so. I have questions.
Okay, we will talk about that on another episode. So anyway, hey, thanks for...
I don't know enough.
That's never,
or maybe I know too much
let's just
and I don't
talk
know
then.
What to
do. That'll be fun to just figure out what we know and don't know. And if I know the comment section, they'll help us.
Oh, I'm sure.
They'll help us. So anyway, love you.
Love you
this
too,
This is
going
to be fun.
This will be fun.
It's
I hope you all have fun.
Yeah, we'll see. Take care. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to The Overcomers. I just pray your heart is always encouraged in the Lord. Really, the ministry I feel God's called me to in this season is to be one that's encouraging you, telling you the Lord sees you, reminding you of the opportunities that we have as the people of God in this day. And so The Overcomers podcast is one of the ways I do that. Another way is that I'm sending out a monthly newsletter. And in that, I've got a little audio link for kind of things I'm thinking about and wrestling through that I'm not necessarily preaching on. And so in the show notes is a link where you can go and sign up for that monthly email. And so, man, if The Overcomers is encouraging you, I would encourage you then to click on that link, sign up for the newsletter. And it's a way for me to further encourage you as you seek to live as overcomers in this current moment.